Father, we thank you so much for you, for who you are and how, Lord, you are working in our lives and how you use your word and the power of your Holy Spirit working through your word to change our lives. And today, Lord, we pray that you would change our lives, that you would help us to be more like you, that you would help us to be more pleasing to you. Lord, help us to have ears to hear and hearts that are open and ready to receive from you. Father, may you be glorified in this time that we have together now. We pray you'd bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of today's teaching is Being Faithful in the Stressful. A couple weeks ago when we were in chapter 37, we saw Joseph in a very stressful situation. We saw him getting sold into slavery by his brothers. And really, what we saw when we looked at that was God was preparing him for a very prominent position. And so often, God does things that we just don't understand, and he uses the very opposite things than we would expect him to use in our lives to prepare us for what he has for us. And then the next chapter, last week, chapter 38, we saw his brother Judah, that he was really a hard-hearted guy, man, and a wicked guy, too. And that we saw in him how that really, just like we so often have a problem with seeing our own sin, so much easier to see the sin in other people rather than to see our own sin. So easier to point it out in somebody else and not allow God to show us and to deal with us in our sin. And now this week, we come back to the life of Joseph. And it's kind of like, you know, meanwhile, back in the life of Joseph, what's going on there? And we really could call this study Preparing People for Prominent Positions Part 2, if we wanted to. But I think God wants us to focus more on really the problems we face every day in stressful situations. Is there anybody here in the last, let's say, 3 weeks, that you haven't been in a stressful situation? Oh, yeah, right. Everybody but Steve, okay? This study then will benefit all of you aside from Steve. But yeah. I know something about you, pal. He was in a stressful situation. But the thing is that when we saw Joseph last time, when we last left our hero, he was only 17 years old. And he didn't have much wisdom. Remember when his visions, the dreams that he had and all that stuff, telling his brothers that were already envious and how it just kind of egged him on, made him that much more envious, that much madder. And we saw that he's a good guy, but not too bright when it came to who he shared those visions with. Well, this time we're going to see he's a lot wiser now. It's only been maybe a year or two, you know, maybe three tops. But we can learn a lot from his faithfulness during those tough time. So let's go ahead and start with verses 1 and 2. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, don't those two verses seem to contradict each other? You know, in just first reading, and when we look at that, you go, wait a minute. He's a slave in a foreign land, and the Lord was with him? You know, and it also says, and he was a successful man. You know, there are a lot of people that would question that because of his status, it being a slave, and where he's at this point. A lot of believers would say, oh man, God isn't with him. You know, but folks, we really shouldn't question it. Paul the Apostle had a really good grip on this kind of thing in his situations and that kind of stuff. In Philippians 4:11, he says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Now, in our study in 2 Corinthians, as we're going to see on Wednesday nights, we're going to see him list some horrible things that guy was involved in. You know, the shipwrecks, the beatings, the stonings, the times that he was, run out of town and all that kind of stuff. He was in some very stressful situations. He was in some ugly situations, but he could be content through all of that kind of stuff because he knew that God was up to something. See, he didn't know what God was doing. He had no idea sometimes. He would write, "We're perplexed. We're sitting on a curb, man, scratching our head, going, why did that happen to us?" You know, but he knew God was up to something, and because of that, God used him greatly. And the fact of the matter is, folks, that God can and wants to give us success in whatever state we're in. You know, not all of us are called to be CEOs or presidents. Not all of us are called to be millionaires. In fact, some of us have jobs that no one would envy. You ever had one of those kind of jobs? I have worked some pretty cruddy jobs in my life, you know? And, you know, the jobs that I think nobody would want kind of thing. But you know what? If we're faithful in those times that of difficulty, in those times where we can't figure out what is God doing with me here, but Lord, I know you're up to something, and if we'll just be faithful during that, He will bless us. He will use us. He will do a work inside of us. And wherever we're at, we need to do that. And even though your lot in life, your position, wherever you're at right now, it may seem to you like a mistake. But understand, it's not. God hasn't neglected you. He hasn't forgotten you. He's up to something. He's doing a work in you. And what do you do when you're in one of those situations, though? I think what God told Joshua as he was about to enter the promised land really can apply to us. In Joshua chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." See, we need to study and trust God's Word. We need to get it in us and not turn from it. No matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing, that whatever we find in God's Word, you know, we should take that and say, "Okay, Lord, how do I apply this for me?" Or sometimes it's not that. We know how to apply it. It's just a lot of times we don't. And instead, we need to, "Okay, Lord, you showed me that. That's your will. That's what I'm going to do." And that's what we need to do. You know, when you think about Joshua, he was commanded to do this. He was commanded and he was encouraged that he would have good success and all that, and he would be blessed. But Joshua, he had many battles in the promised land, didn't he? He had to face a lot of stressful situations. A lot of them. But he was faithful wherever he went. He didn't veer off course, and God blessed him because of that. And you know, as you're faithful, people will see. Look at verses 3 and 4 now. "And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority." When we are faithful with whatever little we have, even if it seems just minuscule, God gives us more if we're faithful. Remember the parable of the minas that Jesus told in Luke chapter 19, and how he talked about the master had given each of them a mina, and this one guy in verse 16, I think it is, you know, he came back and said, "Hey, look, you know, you gave me a mina. Here's 10 minas. You know, I put it to work. I used what you gave me." And in verse 17, "And he said to him, 'Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities.'" But see, the opposite is true though. If we are given a little and we're not faithful in that, then folks, if you're not faithful where you are at right now, and you're not faithful with what you have already been given, don't expect any more. You can't say, and you can't think to yourself, "Well, you know, once I have more, then I'll do what I'm supposed to do. Once I have more, then I'll be faithful. Then I'll obey God. Once, you know, once I'm out of this situation, once my circumstances change and I'm not in this thing anymore, then I'll go ahead and do what I'm supposed to do." You can't think that way. In Luke 16:10, Jesus said, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much." Whatever you're doing right now, if God gave you more, you'd be acting the same way. The thing to do now is to say, "Lord, What do you want me to do within this situation? What do you want me to do with what you have given to me thus far? We need to be choose to be faithful where we're at and what we've been given. Verses 5 and 6, it says, so it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Joseph had shown himself so faithful that the only question that Potiphar had for him about his stuff was, what's for dinner? Just the bread that was on his plate, man. What are we eating tonight? You know? What's for dinner? That's all he cared. He just knew that Joseph was so faithful that he was handling things just as faithfully as if Potiphar himself was handling stuff. And that's what we ought to be doing. Think about, put yourself in Potiphar's place there, or any employer's position. What a blessing for Potiphar, huh? What a blessing to know that you don't have to go and look over this kid's shoulder. And what's he up to? What's he doing? Is he slacking off? You know, when he ought to be working hard? You know, is he ripping me off? Eh, just what's for dinner? You know, he knows he's got all this stuff taken care of because he was so faithful. When we're faithfully serving the Lord, God blesses us in the process. And in the process, he blesses other people around us. I mean, how blessed is the wife of a faithful husband who's faithfully serving the Lord, faithfully serving his family, his wife and his children? Oh, what a blessing for that wife, huh? How blessed is the husband who has a faithful wife, who he can trust her and be encouraged by her and see her as that helpmate that God has given to him? What a blessing for that husband. What a blessing for the kids that have a mom and dad who are faithful, who faithfully raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. How blessed are those kids? Now, they don't realize they're blessed, especially when they're teenagers, right? For having Christian parents that are faithful to the Lord. You know, a lot of times it's like, my friends, man, their mom and dad don't make them do that. You know, they get to do this and I don't. I'm not your dad. Kind of thing. Yeah, they don't understand. But when they're grown, then they understand. Then they're grateful for having faithful parents. See, God has blessed Joseph in all of his endeavors, in his work and all that, all his energy that he spends, God's blessing it. But he's also blessed him physically too. It says he's handsome in form and appearance. The NET Bible words it, well-built and handsome. But as with any blessing, there are challenges to use all of God's blessings, everything that God has given to us for His glory, isn't there? In 1 Corinthians 10:31, we're told, therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So we should be faithful to give God glory in the decisions that we make during the stressful times. During the times when it's tough and it's hard and whatever God has blessed us with, whatever that is, we need to be faithful to give Him glory in that. And verse 7, okay, he's good looking, he's handsome and all that, well built. Verse 7, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph and she said, lie with me. Now that's a stressful situation, right? And put yourself in this guy's position here. He's probably 18 to 20 years old, somewhere around there. And he's just a normal guy. He's got natural desires. And the boss's wife is hitting on him. And she's probably good looking. I mean, Potiphar, he was wealthy. He was captain of the guard. You know, he could choose whatever wife he wanted kind of thing. And there she is. She's hitting on him. You're all alone. How do you handle that? Well, look at how he handles it, verses 8 and 9. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How did he handle it? He simply refused. oftentimes, folks, we make way more out of temptation and our response to temptation than we should. We try and really fake ourselves out. And we use psychological this and situational that and kind of justify our poor decisions and justify our sin. But folks, bottom line, this is the temptation to sin, and Joseph is calling it what it is. And he's choosing to do the right thing within this stressful situation. He refused to betray the trust that his master had in him, even though no one would know if he hooked up with this gal, but he knew that he would know, and he knew that God would know. And folks, that's a thing to keep in our minds, that God will know. God is there. He's the one. But, you know, you look at this and you go, well, what caused him to make such a choice? How did he answer her back so quickly like that? I mean, think about this. I'm sure the devil was whispering in his ear, hey, it'd be fun. It'd be exciting, man. And no one know. You know, and hey, man, anybody in your situation would do this. I mean, come on, man. After all you've been through, live a little. You deserve it. Ah, come on. But you look at this answer that he just gave right back to her. And, you know, he must have had a clue that she was hot for him. He must have had a clue because it says that she cast longing eyes on him. He must have caught that. He must have seen that. And you know when somebody has flirted with you, right? Some of us guys get clueless. I know my wife and I have been places and you know, some gal was just being nice, and and my wife's right there, you know, kind of thing. And we'll go away, and my wife's not a jealous gal. You know, her kind of thing is, you want to go do that? Go fine, you know. It's just, I won't be here when you get back, kind of thing. You know, that's kind of her mindset. But we leave in situations where she's, that gal was hitting on you. What? No, oh yeah, you know. Most of those guys are kind of dumb, you know, and the gals get it though, but most of the time we know. We know when somebody's checking us out or whatever. And there must have been some thought going on in his head when he would see her like that and just kind of wonder, what am I going to do? And in thinking about that whole situation, I remember back on this particular translation of the Bible that somebody gave me. It's called the Black Bible Chronicles, From Genesis to the Promised Land, A Survival Manual for the Streets. And I immediately flashed onto this because it gives you kind of the flavor that helps us to understand really what was probably going on. It's hilarious too. So let me read to you this paraphrase, this translation of this passage here. It says, the Egyptians were blessed having Joseph around, and Joseph was given much responsibility. So much responsibility, in fact, that Joseph was in total control. Joseph was good looking. He was one fine and well-built brother. And the boss's wife noticed it. Everywhere Joseph went, she was somewhere around smacking her lips. Let's get busy, she begged. You don't know how you really turned me on. But Joseph couldn't betray a homeboy that way. Also, he couldn't jock the Almighty either, because it wouldn't be right sleeping with somebody else's old lady. He told the woman no. But you know, the thing is, she probably was smacking her lips looking at him, and he noticed it. But he had to think about, what am I going to do? What am I going to do if she hits on me? Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. His response and how he came back with what he said to her shows us what was going on inside of him. What was going on in his mind, the thoughts that he was thinking as she was smacking her lips, and he was noticing that. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us that we're to be casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. See, Joseph was casting down those arguments that the devil was tempting him with. Yeah, it's okay, man. Ah, you deserve it, that kind of thing. Instead, he took his thoughts captive. He chose to think on what was right. He chose to continually put those things in his mind so that when the temptation came, he was able to respond with the right response. He refused her. In Philippians 4:8, we're told, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, or think on these things. See, Joseph chose to think like that. He reminded himself constantly, even though he was a slave, he reminded himself that God had blessed him. He had blessed him to a very prominent position within that house. And that he had been blessing all that he did, and his master trusted him so much, they didn't check up on him, which was a very honorable thing. And with that trust, he understood, came a great responsibility to remain trustworthy. And what was true in this situation, what he continued to think on that was true, that this offer of hers was a great wickedness to her husband, and it would be sin against God. Being faithful in stressful situations is an ongoing thing. Just because you refuse one temptation doesn't mean, well, that's it. It's one and done. I can move on to something else. Look at verse 10. So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. Notice that. When it says, so it was, that means that along those lines, as she spoke to Joseph day by day. No, this is a daily thing. Probably the worst kind of temptation. That day by day, constant temptation, trying to wear you down so you'll just, whatever, man, let's go for it, kind of thing. He continued to live according to what was true, according to what was right, and according to what was noble. He lived what he believed. And he not only didn't heed, which means to give in to her, to lie with her, to have sex, but he also, it says, refused to be with her. You know, if you're somebody that likes to underline or highlight your Bible, that's something I would underline. He refused to be with her. The New Living Translation words it, he kept out of her way as much as possible. Romans 13:14 tells us, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. See, Joseph didn't needlessly place himself in a more stressful situation. I can't tell you how many believers that I have talked to in my office that come in and they're crying, whether it's gals or guys. And they'll tell, you know, they messed up. They have committed adultery. And I can't tell you how many times it's the same scenario over and over again. I never intended for this to happen, especially the gals. I never intended for this to happen. You know, my husband, you know, he kind of ignores me. He doesn't pay attention to me. He doesn't love me. He doesn't show his love for me. He just kind of, you know, takes me for granted. But there's this guy that was at work and he was being nice to me. And he was saying nice things to me. He was complimenting me. And he was making me really feel good. And you know, that felt so good that when he was around, if he was going to the water cooler, then I would go get a drink. If he was going to the copy machine, I would find something to copy because he would always say nice things to me. I never intended on ending up in bed with him, but I did. Because they were making provision for the flesh. They were making provision to fall. See, Joseph, when we saw him last time, and he was only 17, he wasn't that wise. But here, man, he has got some wisdom now. Here, he is showing tremendous wisdom. You know, he didn't flirt with her. He didn't find reasons to be with her. He stayed away from her as much as possible. Folks, that's what we've got to do in our personal lives. We've got to recognize the things that we could possibly stumble in, that we could possibly fall in. We've got to stay far away from them. We've got to be wise enough to say, you know what, I don't need that extra temptation. I don't need to be in that kind of situation. I may need to break from some friends that I've been hanging out with, that every time I'm around them, and I end up falling away from the Lord. No, you may even end up being something where you have to quit the job that you're at. Because being in that job, you're in an environment that you're constantly being tempted. What is your integrity worth? What is your walk with the Lord worth? We mouth a lot of stuff. Oh, I gave my life to the Lord. oh yeah, you know, with all my heart, with all my soul, I'm God's. But then in our practical day-to-day living, we don't live that way. Joseph did. And we need to take a lesson from that. Now, in verses 11 through 15, but it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, see, he has brought into us a Hebrew to mock us. He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it happened, when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. What a rotten woman, huh? I mean, just the opposite of what happened. But you see up there in verse 11 where it says, but it happened. Folks, in a fallen world, because of sin being in the world, it will happen. It will happen to you. It will happen to me. That we will find ourselves, excuse me, in extremely stressful situations that are no fault of our own. And at times, we'll find ourselves in those situations that are completely unjust. But folks, it's just part of being in a fallen world. It's part of living in a world where there is sin. Now, Joseph did what was right. It says he fled. He ran. 2 Timothy 2:22 tells us, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. See, if you're going to pursue God, if you're going to pursue righteousness, faith and love and peace and all that, then you've got to flee the youthful lust. You have to run from the junk that God says stay away from that. And folks, there is a time. There is a time in our lives that the best thing you can do is take off. There is a time when you see yourself in a situation where this is getting way too out of control, man. I'm being tempted here. And there's a time to say, feet, don't fail me now. I'm out of here. And you take off. It's the wisest thing to do sometimes. And, you know, just because you do what's right doesn't mean that everyone or even anyone else will do what is right. Look at verses 16 through 20. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to mock me. So it happened as I lifted up my voice and cried out that he lifted his garment with me and fled outside. So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. What a roller coaster ride this guy's on, huh? Remember, he goes from being the favored son with a fancy coat, kind of overseeing his brothers, to being in a pit and then sold into slavery. These Ishmael traders that went by, and then being sold into slavery, into the house of Potiphar. But then he gets, you know, a little upswing there. You know, he's kind of running things. He's an overseer of that house. And now, man, he's been thrown into prison. Now the roller coaster goes up again here in verses 21 through 23. It says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Many believers would refuse to believe that the Lord was with them if they were in that situation. Ask yourself that question right now. Would I choose to believe that the Lord was with me if that was happening to me? Understand this, that oftentimes our perception of what is happening is just really just the opposite of what's going on. When God is working in us, when He's doing a work there, oftentimes we totally get the wrong idea. We totally miss it. Remember when Jesus was teaching his disciples and going from town to town, and word came to him that his good friend Lazarus was sick, near death. Remember that? In John. And you look at that and you go, oh, well, okay. As you're reading, you hear that. Okay, Jesus knows that his good buddy Lazarus is sick. And well, gosh, Jesus can do something about it. And you know that he loves him. And if you love somebody and you have the ability to help them, oh, well, then you're going to naturally run to that person and help them out right away, right? Wrong. Thank you for playing. Please try again. But that's not what Jesus does. In John 11, 5 and 6, it says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. What? And that word so, in the Amplified translation, translates it therefore. Therefore, because he loved. See, and that's what it is. Because he loved them, he waited. And that just goes against our grain, doesn't it? It's just hard for us to wrap our heads around that. But the deal is, we know what's going to happen with Lazarus, but they didn't. Jesus wanted to do something much greater in their lives than heal a sick man, than heal his buddy Lazarus. He wanted to show his power in Lazarus. Now, most of us, and I hope this is true for most, if not all of us, we pray, Lord, be glorified in my life, right? I hope we pray that. I do. God, I want you to glorify me. Whatever it means, whatever, however you want to do that. Lord, use me. I'm yours. We pray that. But a lot of times we miss it. And we don't want him to do that. Really, when it comes right down to it. When it comes down to us suffering through something or getting into a stressful situation and kind of it seems like things are pressing in on all sides. We have a hard time with that. But see, he wanted to show his power in Lazarus. He wanted to raise him from the dead. But in order to do a miracle like that, he had to die. In order to call him out of the grave, he had to be in the grave, right? And so he allowed that. God allows stressful situations in our lives, folks, to do work that he could do nowhere else. Understand that. When he has allowed you into a stressful situation, he has allowed you there in order to do work in your heart, in your life, that he could do nowhere else. We're all familiar with Psalm 23. It's probably one of the most popular psalms, especially verses 4 through 6. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We read that, and we kind of celebrate the sentiment on that, but something we ought not to miss. Don't miss this. This is written by David. Don't miss this, that David had to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see that? He would have never known God in that way that he describes God right there had he not walked through that valley of the shadow of death. He had to go through that valley. He had to go through those hard times. He had to go through those times when Saul was hot on his trail trying to kill him. He had to go through those times when the Philistines were after him and trying to kill him. And in those situations, he found that God was with him. As he describes here, his rod and staff, they comfort him. Which means that he knew that God was protecting him. That's what that means. And he would have never experienced God's protection without being in the valley of the shadow of death. You can't understand that someone is protecting you unless they're protecting you from something. Unless you recognize that there's something to be afraid of, right? Something that could overcome you. Something that could get you. David still had enemies too. Did you notice that? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You know, he still had the enemies, but God blessed David above them. He had protected him so much that David said, it's like, you know, you made it to where I've got this dinner table and able to sit down and I'm able to eat dinner right in their presence. They're standing right over there against the wall, man, looking at me, watching me eat dinner. And I'm able to just kind of kick back and eat and just, oh, this is awesome. Hey, hand me another lamb chop there. Yeah, it was good. Yeah. My enemy's there. You can't touch this, man. and that's the picture he's given us here. And then through that, though, he says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. See, even though he had to go through the valley of the shadow of death, even though he had to experience those hardships, he understood that God was with him, and he was blessing him. Just like with Joseph. Even though, like David, Joseph, was in a horrible place, God was still with him. God was still working in him, and God was still preparing him for what he has ahead of him, for what he has in store for him. Both David and Joseph, something else they share is that they both kept their eye on eternity. And David here says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And Joseph, when he is answering and refusing Mrs. Potiphar, he says, it's a sin against God. See, both of them knew that they were going to stand before God. Both of them knew that there was an eternity that they were going to be going to at the end of this life. Folks, if we're going to be faithful in stressful situations, we need to do just like Joseph and David did. We need to take these examples and apply them to our lives. We need to believe God in spite of our feelings, in spite of our outward circumstances. We need to believe God in His promises. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, even though we can't see His rod and His staff, even though we can't see that He's with us, trust Him. He is. He's promised to be with us. You know, that word hope there, is things hoped for, it means a confident expectation or to look forward with confidence to the good promises of God despite of a lack of physical evidence. Hebrews 13:5, the last part of it says, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, we have to choose to believe what God has said rather than our feelings. And that's always a struggle, especially when we're in the stressful situations. We want to, trust your feelings. Go with your heart. No, our heart's deceitful, deceptively wicked, deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? We can't trust our heart. We have to instead trust God's word and choose to believe that regardless of what we see, regardless of if there's any evidence or not. We must not allow our minds to entertain thoughts that are contrary to God's word. We have to take our thoughts captive. We have to choose to think on what is right and true and noble and pure and all those other things in Philippians 4:8. We got to run from those situations where we know we could stumble in. We got to keep ourselves out of those places that we know it's hard to resist temptation in. And through constant prayer and relying on God's grace, we've got to continue to refuse sin. Not a one and done deal. Because there's a reward waiting for those who choose to do so. In Galatians 6:7-9, he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. We'll see that Joseph will reap an awesome reward for his faithfulness, even though there's no evidence of that right now at this point in his life. In fact, at this point in his life, he might be thinking, as he's faithfully serving God, as he's faithfully serving that head jailer there, he might be thinking, man, I guess I'm going to be the head trustee here in this prison for the rest of my life. But we know he won't. We know that God has something in store for him. God has something in store for each and every one of us. If you're in a stressful situation right now, be faithful. Choose to be faithful. There is a reward ahead. Even if you can't see a shred of evidence, there is a reward ahead if you will remain faithful. God's promises are sure. Let's trust Him. Amen? All right. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank You. Lord, so much for your promises. We thank you for your character and your nature that is unchanging, Lord, that is faithful. Lord, what you have said, you will do. Help us to believe that. Help us to live like that. Help us to live in such a way that it shows those around us that we do believe in you, that we do trust you. Father, help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray.